blessing, my love, my love, love, love.
She bruises calls, she splats his pistol shots, hold her down with soggy clothes and breeze blows. She's morphine,
queen of my vaccine, my love, my love, love, love.
La 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 la, muscle to muscle and toe to toe. The fear has gripped me, but here I go. Mod sings as I jump up, your hand is tight as my shot. And
soggy clothes and breeze blocks. Germaline, disinfect the scene, my love, love, love. Please don't go, I love you so, my lovely.
Please break my heart.
Hello, John C. Dvorak. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you? Everything good?
Yeah, okay.
Feeling good, feeling healthy, feeling strong?
Yeah.
I'm surrounded with so much ailment and death right now. It's not funny. Seriously, it's a problem. I'll tell you about it. Got my new iPhone. That's the first time we're using it. On the music, we play the music from the iPhone. Not too terrible, about 2 hours to set it all up. The biggest problem is the multi-factor authentication. That's something.
Why?
Because I've done this before, and I know this. If you have multi-factor authentication tight stuff on a phone, and you just get rid of your old phone, your old phone needs to authenticate the new phone. I've done this before, and it became a real problem. In other words,
I decided to do it again.
No, I wiped the old phone like 4 times ago. Now I know. Set everything up. Don't touch that other new old phone. Leave it sitting there for a little while, then get rid of it. It's a process.
Well,
my microphone is not in the right spot. Let me get this going here. That's better. All right, sir. Here we go. We're getting going.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
That's one.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's June 16th, 2026.
All the way up to a new holiday this week on Friday.
What's Friday?
Juneteenth.
Well, that's a holiday?
The markets are closed.
No.
Yes,
really?
Sir. Yeah, I know. Kind of weird.
Yeah, it's kind of celebrating stupidity.
I don't really understand how that became a holiday. Well, I'm not saying it shouldn't be celebrated. It's fine. That's all good. But I don't understand.
You can celebrate anything you want, but.
A bank holiday, market holiday.
It's kind of a. Just like he says, celebrating stupidity.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was gone last week. I apologize for that. Had a little quick vacation I needed to get to, which was pretty exciting. A lot of fun. Sent you pictures of the costume competition I was in.
You saw I didn't get any pictures.
I sent it to you in an email. I sure did.
Oh, an email? Really?
Yep. The Milli Vanilli, which you talked about. Adam told you about that.
Yeah, you were dressed. Yeah. Yeah, Adam told me about it, but that's why I was complaining. I never got that picture.
I will send you the picture again. Let me check my levels. You said, you're right on.
Find it interesting that you wouldn't be embarrassed to send that out, but.
Why?
Fascinating.
It's all in fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All in good fun. I didn't win anything, but it was all in good fun. It was a rock and roll weekend, kind of a kickback to all the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s music. So I thought I'd be something different.
That's kind of a wide range.
I knew everybody was going to come as either Kiss or the Beatles or just a...
How many people were at this event?
About 120.
Holy moly.
Yeah, we took the boats across the Atlantic to the island of Bimini. The Bahamas, about 50 nautical miles from Fort Lauderdale, south-southeast. And, spent the time. Then we went on from there. I went on to Nassau, pulled into the Atlantis. Beautiful entry. Went to Bahamar over on the other side of the island. Then,
whose boat was that you were on?
I was on my friend's boat. He's a 68-foot Lazara cabin cruiser. I get the front cabin en suite, which means that we have basically a
bathroom,
yeah. In a shower and all that, and a nice bed, a queen-size bed, the whole thing. And then we went over to Eleuthera. I've never been there before. Pink Sand Beach, Spanish Wells, Harbor Island. Lovely, lovely. Mm. So, yeah. He had Starlink. I could have done the show.
Ah, there you go. That would have been great.
I got the to-go bag right here that I've set up, ready to go, never used.
Oh, you could have used it.
I know. I should do it next time. Next time I'm going to do it. All right, let's talk about what's going on. Is Monty Hall, remember him, Monty Hall? What would he say?
Let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal. We got deals. I don't even know why that word is so important to this administration, the idea of a deal versus an agreement versus, it's just an overused thing like, oh, we got a deal and we won. I think that's the connotation. So we have some kind of a deal going on in Iran. I don't know what's going on. Most people don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on, but they got something. Friday's the big day. They're going to be signing in Geneva, supposedly. And it looks like, from what I can see, we'll talk about it in a second, we're nowhere better off than we were before the war. So, except for the fact that the markets are very happy. News dominated by one stock in particular for the last few weeks and in the last couple of days. And you know what that one is?
SpaceX.
SpaceX. Yep. This week on Wednesday, we have a Fed rate decision, the first one by Fed Chair Warsh. Like Warsh. He's from Washington.
He's going to do nothing.
He'll do nothing. And we need a new closest to the pin.
Well, you suggested SpaceX. I think that might not be a bad idea.
Not a bad idea, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to put that. I think we could do that because let me think. Oh, you're using the various. There's a whole technological thing behind these close to the pin on how they're tracked and all that and the output of it. And I think that will be, that'll work fine. Sometimes we can't use certain symbols, but I think we can. CTP is SpaceX. And then my pen just ran out of ink. All right, markets, another V formation nearing the highs again. We saw the Dow Jones Industrial hit a new high today. The Qs and the S&P are a little bit lagging behind, but we saw about a 6% correction over just a few days when we saw that some concern for a moment, just for a millisecond of, oh my gosh, maybe, just possibly, semiconductors are overvalued. They pulled back. Inflation, we saw PPI a 1.1% number on a monthly basis. Wow. It's like a 12% year over year on if you were to annualize that. Big number. Fear lasted a whole day, John, an entire day.
Oh, no.
Yes. And on the heels of SpaceX, now we have more IPO madness with Anthropic and OpenAI. Trying to come on. Maybe even follow the what would we call the process that was done by SpaceX to put a fixed price $135 per share on the open, didn't move, didn't adjust, kept at $75 billion. Although there was a little green shoeing going on, there was another $10 billion. So there's some question is whether or not SpaceX is going to drain the markets. We saw the semiconductors cave pretty hard today. The NASDAQ move hard again down. And SpaceX was up about 4.5%, up about, I don't know, 40% since its IPO. Came out at 135, opened at 160 or so, went up to about 172, closed at about 160 or so that day.
Yeah, it should go flying. Well, I don't know, but what are the earnings there at SpaceX?
Last quarter was about a loss of $4
billion. Oh.
They're trading about 100 times revenue.
Oh, 100 times revenue.
100 times sales revenue.
100 times sales revenue.
It's some crazy number no matter how you look. Exactly. And the hope is, because most of what's going on inside of SpaceX, the XAI, losing money like crazy, burning about $1 billion a month on XAI.
Just money.
Just a little bit. And who cares? It could burn $1 billion a month, and that's like the comparison of our cable bill for us compared to what Elon Musk has.
Yeah. Well, you know, the guy... He's got the touch.
He does have the touch. It's from the future. There's no question about that. He and Adam were hanging out together somewhere in the future. Do you still think Adam's from the future? Or do you think, does Adam still think he's from the future, I should say?
I think he gave up on that.
Really?
Either that or he can't get back.
Well, Adam Curry, you talk about the show No Agenda, which is Thursdays and Sundays. Live, of course, and you can listen to it on any podcast app that you have. Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak, great show there, breaking it all down, bringing it back to normal. Love that stuff. Must listen, by the way, a must listen show. Markets bore AI valuations are through the roof. And can I take a moment to dedicate this show today?
Sure.
Dedicating this to my friend Stu Shifter, a friend of mine for 30 years who died today. Battled cancer for 2 years, 65 years old, and you know, reminds us all the time. It reminds me all the time. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. I'm gonna maybe share this, that life is very short. Do what you got to do now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't put it off, whether it's financial investing, your life going on that trip, or whatever it is. It's just not worth it. In fact, John, if you're up to it, you should drink some of that wine that you have in your house.
I got plenty of wine to drink.
Plenty of wine to drink.
But I'm not going to start just guzzling wine.
Not suggesting. Invite someone over. Invite me over. I will come.
Believe me, I share a lot of wine.
All right.
I got way too much wine.
So there you go. So you know you can. That's. I think. I see it. I see it right now in your future. A new book title. Too many wines.
Yeah. Well, it's close.
All right. Market valuation, sir. The S&P 500 forward PE is about 22.5. 10-year average about somewhere between 19 and 20, around there. Long-term average about 18 to 19. So it's not cheap at all. Earnings are being priced in for major growth in the future, continuation of this. I don't know how we went from, let's say, an 8 to 10% earnings to now 15, and now we're thinking of 20, and how people think that that's going to last forever, buying stocks at these levels. I'm not suggesting that there aren't opportunities for the future, but it seems like nobody cares what they're paying anymore.
Yeah, we definitely don't have any Warren Buffetts out there whose primary concern has always seemed to be what's he paying. Nobody takes that as an example of how to invest.
This is like the people just going into a restaurant and just buying whatever they want and just throwing their card, not even looking at the bill.
Yes, that's happened to a friend of mine recently.
What happened?
I went out to dinner and he paid an outrageous bill. It seemed overpriced, but he didn't know about it until after he got home.
Oh.
Because he wasn't paying attention.
Wasn't paying attention or was imbibing a little bit?
Well, that goes without saying, I think.
I have a new drink. I've been struggling with what to drink, what to casually drink.
Yeah.
What's your drink? Do you have a drink? The first thing is like, give me a red wine, give me a cab, give me a, what do you do?
If I was going to drink something casually that was just kind of a throwaway that was going to say in the summer, I would pick in Moscato d'Asti, usually a 5%, 6% alcohol, sweet, sparkling, frizzy wine that's delicious, in no matter who makes it.
Are those larger grapes?
The Muscat?
Yeah, or is that, I'm thinking Moscato? Is that what I'm thinking? What am I thinking?
Muscat grapes are pretty big, and they're very aromatic.
Mm. Well, I am now liking Palomas.
What?
Paloma.
What's Paloma?
It's a drink. It's a cocktail.
Yeah, how's it made?
So it's tequila, fresh grapefruit juice, and soda. But what I did was, instead of using the soda, topped it off a little Fresca. Very refreshing.
See, I used to make a drink a Dvorak.
Oh?
Which was grapefruit juice, grapefruit soda, and Campari.
Oh, so you got that little bitterness in there.
It's dynamite.
Yeah. No sweetener?
You don't need it.
Don't need it. Huh. That's interesting. The Dvorak. So we have a keyboard named after you, and we have a drink.
Yeah, exactly.
It's unbelievable. What else?
How does he do it?
The things we learn on DH Unplugged every week. You would think by now, 15, 16 years later, there's nothing left to uncover. You would think.
Yeah, you'd think.
But every single episode, there's something new. It's unbelievable. Seriously. It always amazes me. No, good stuff.
It's an amazing podcast that people should contribute to.
Oh. you know, there was some concern that some of the buttons didn't work. And then we had some guy go in there and said, look, one of these buttons isn't working. And I dug down into it and we got our developers working on it. Turns out that that wasn't working inside of one of the podcast apps. But we did some work to change it. So now it's a pop-up. It's a much easier thing. So
well, I love those podcast apps that don't work.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm talking. It's just because they're basically made for podcasting, not for our show notes. And that's a secondary concern of theirs, I guess. And clearly not any linkable items or pop-up items or anything with any JavaScript in there that would be, you know, kind of conflicting with their app. Because their apps are kind of a quasi-app slash browser. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, the fact is the store is open. You can go to dhunplugged.com, click on one of the buttons, and donate because, you know, that is the way that you show your love. That's your love language. That is the audience love language. It's giving. Give to the show. Let's keep talking about valuations. The NASDAQ 100 forward PE, a whopping 23 to 24. 1 year average, 23. 20-year average, 20 to 21. Not screaming expensive by any means. However, with one caveat, the trailing PE is like 33 to 40, depending on how you look at it. Now, why is that important? The only reason that the forward PE is actually somewhat reasonable is because when you calculate a forward PE, you use an estimation of earnings moving forward. That estimation, therefore, has to be extraordinarily high to go from where we are on a trailing PE of, let's even say 33, to a 22. To bring it down that much, you have to have like a 20% increase in earnings coming through. Possible? Yes. You look like a stock like a Western Digital. I don't know if you've seen.
Oh, you know, it makes me sick.
It's unbelievable.
Seagate's the same way.
Yeah, Western WDC is the symbol. Up another 4.5% today, up $27. Stock is up. Listen to this. The stock is up this year alone. Do you want to take a guess what it is up year to date?
400%.
295. 1 year. You want to take that one? You're going to be really mad. 1 year?
400%.
1,100.
Oh, geez. It's 11 bagger.
Yeah, that's something right there.
Yeah, but it makes no, well, you know.
It makes sense only because they need the storage and they need the drives. They need the data storage availability. There's only a certain number of companies.
Yeah, they need this, they need that, but you don't expect that kind of gains. I mean, that thing is ripe for a fall, and so is some of the other stocks out there.
The semiconductors always have a cycle.
I mean, you know, one of the underreported trades recently was Michael Dell selling $1 billion of his own stock.
God bless him. Stock was up enormously.
Absolutely.
You and I would do the same thing.
Probably before now.
So... But yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, they're getting smart. They're taking their profits. They're, you know, when the numbers get that crazy, why not?
Yeah. You're going to kick yourself if you don't take a billion.
Right. Just scrape a little bit of stuff off the table. Now, with all this that's going on right now, there is a new playbook. It's buy the rumor and buy the news. President Trump has perfected this issue of never making any news that happens now. It will happen in the future. We have a deal. We'll sign it Friday. It looks like we're going to sign something over the weekend.
Yeah, that was going to be Sunday.
Yeah.
Nah.
We're going to
next Friday.
Obliterate Iran on Thursday. We postpone it. Somehow we went from Iran hitting a helicopter to us bombing them to us being pissed off to Thursday to them saying, screw you, to somehow we have a deal. Which, by the way, my understanding is the Iranians have not committed to this deal yet. And nobody's really seen the text. There are some things going on, though. Let's get right into this for a second because we're here. It was 5:45 p.m. Sunday night. Why is that an important time to see an announcement about we are getting close and we are imminently having a deal with Iran? Why is 5:45 on a Sunday night so important because futures open at 6. Now, could
at least the timing's good.
Could you have done this at 6:30? Sure. Could you have done it Monday morning? Absolutely. But why not have fun with it? You got thin markets on the overnight on Sunday. Let's move things and let's get it going. Futures rally, oil drops. Just days after the market surged, after True Social Post on a Thursday said that the U.S. will soon sign a deal with Iran. That was like 1,000 points on the Dow. Buy the rumor, buy the news. Now, on Thursday, Trump told reporters in the Oval Office that we have a deal that Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. Monday, we're doing a 60-day period delay to continue discussions on the nuclear issues. But we have a deal. Who is the sucker in all this? Anybody?
I have no idea.
It's us. Us, me, you.
Well, if you pay attention.
It's us. We're the suckers.
Well, you're not a sucker if you take it a little less seriously.
I suppose, you know, you have to wonder, and there's a $300 billion private fund now designed to trigger investments into Iran that's in this framework. By the way, it's a framework, just to be clear. That special phraseology that's used when you don't actually have a deal, but you want to say something.
Yeah, framework.
So we have both sides are supposedly giving economic incentive to conclude in a final deal. Because if you think of what happened here, we're pulling out our Navy from the Strait of Hormuz, right? What incentive do they have to do something within the 60-day deadline period if there's no gun to their head?
I have no idea.
Yeah, who cares? Nobody cares. That's the point right here, by the way. Nobody cares anymore. There's so much of this talk back. Nobody just, it's like enough. We'll bring the market up if you just don't talk about it anymore. That's what I think went on there. So, what else is going on? Headlines. You know, I've always been fascinated with the headlines that we have. Not only in the business world, the world of finance, but all over. But, you know, the whole idea of clickbait. Here's the one from Fox News. Beware the ticking time bomb hiding in your 401k. You need that scratchy voice, deep-throated guy. You know,
that's a good one.
Yep. What does the article talk about? Let's think. First of all, what could this be? Oh, my gosh. I'm going to lose all my money. They can take my money from me. You know, it's something terrible. It's going to be terrible. I'm going to lose everything. The article goes on to talk about the required minimum distributions that could trigger taxes on Social Security benefits and boost Medicare premiums sometime in the future. This is not a ticking time bomb. This is the reality. When you save enough money, you have your money inside of your portfolio, your 401k, your IRA. And what happens is you're required age 72, 73 to take out money over your lifetime. And when you do so, you're going to pay taxes. And usually you think about somewhere about a 5% amount that needs to come out once you hit age 73. So if you have $1 million, you're going to have to take out $50,000 a year. $50,000 on top of all the other money you're making, maybe making 75, you add back in some Social Security, you're possibly going to have a higher payment on your Medicare and also tax on your Social Security. So you make a lot of money, you pay tax on it. Anywhere in that, is there a ticking time bomb? So if you have a 401k, by the way, everybody should listen to this. If you have a 401k and that you think that you'll be paying too much later on and get into this, there are ways around this. Now, the article didn't go on to talk about it, by the way. There was nothing about that.
Of course not.
But there are ways, depending on your age, where you are, but you can actually do something. We do this all the time. We do backdoor Roth IRAs. We do conversions. Once you start thinking about, there's a few other ways in which you can actually take your money from your IRA / your 401k or pension plans, and you can maneuver it in such a way to reduce your taxes Not entirely, but in a good amount, so that you won't have to pay the upcharge on these other areas like Medicare and on your in taxes and on your Medicare premiums. There's something. So that's we can take a look at those options. We do it all the time. So people, no ticking time bomb, but something to be aware of. But I like that title, didn't you?
Yeah, it's cute.
Yep.
They do their best.
We have some more retirement alerts. We need like a siren for this one. This one needs to have, we need to have all sorts of, maybe even bombs going out on the background. Social Security, you won't believe this. This is, how many times this happened? Social Security is running out again.
Huh, never heard of such a thing.
Never. Could it be true? I think it was supposed to run out already. So there's less than 10 years until the reserves are fully exhausted.
That's because they've been stealing from the fund. Social Security was supposed to be standalone. It wasn't something the government could tap and take the money and throw it around, which is what they've done.
Oh, yeah, no question. No question. So
it's not going to fold up because the type of lawsuits that would the consequence would be outrageous.
And we could just print money and put it in there and move money from here to there.
That's what they're doing now.
Raise the price of stamps. Who knows? The Social Security Administration's newly released 2026 yeah. Trustees report confirms that the federal retirement safety net is less than 7 years away from final fiscal depletion.
Mm-hmm.
As the Old Age and Survivors Insurance Trust Fund will completely be exhausted.
I have heard this probably for the last 30 years.
Yep. Me too.
In fact, I'd like to find, maybe I'd have AI do some research and find the original date of this complaint.
But
has to be 30, 40 years ago.
I am certain that the calculation is probably true. Right?
Oh, sure it is.
But, and once the reserves dry up, the ongoing tax revenues that we have because the money that comes in that goes into the fund to pay it and pay out, right, this Ponzi scheme that we have going on, will cover only about 78% of the scheduled retirement benefits. Now, some of the blame is being laid on the OBA, One Big Beautiful Bill Act with higher...
That's right.
That's
yeah,
where it's
sure.
going. That's where we're going. Right in time for your midterms.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Right?
You nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, who are the voters out there? Is it the 18 and 19-year-olds or is it the 60 and 70-year-olds? And who is going to be more concerned about Social Security? So they talk about how the standard deductions, lower tax on Social Security benefits, stuff.
I want to mention that, in fact, the 18 and 19-year-olds have been sold a bill of goods that they won't get any Social Security.
Right. How do they react to that? Is that why they feel they need to push everything they can into like crypto and speculative?
And tattoos and piercings.
Yeah,
and Starbucks, overpriced Starbucks coffee drinks.
Do you have any tattoos?
Sorry, what?
Do you have any tattoos?
No, I don't.
Do you have any piercings?
Not really.
Not really.
I stuck myself with a knife once, but
okay. So not
I don't
that.
Think that counts.
Not a pier- not not a not a stylistic nope. piercing.
No.
Yeah.
Why you?
I do not have a tattoo, but I do have a piercing.
You have a piercing?
I do.
I don't want to know.
It is not a what is the one the what's the one down below?
You have a septum ring?
No.
I have a left
ear earring.
You have a hole in your ear?
I do, from when I was like 19.
I've never seen you wear earrings.
I don't wear earrings, but I still have the hole in the ear.
I thought it heals up.
It seems not to.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I've been sold a bill of goods.
It's not like it's an oozing open wound. It's just...
I think it's interesting that you would be, when at 19, you'd be wearing a pirate earring in your left ear.
Your
left ear means you're gay?
No, it's right. But the right ear. But I was like a punk rocker back then. I was going to CBGB's like in New York. I was new. I was listening to.
That's why you were in New York.
Yes, yeah. I was in New York in Long Island.
Stranglers is ring a bell.
All of those guys. You had the Sex Pistols. You had Billy Idol. You had, you know, all these OMD and all these crazy bands out there. Stray Cats, you know, all this eclectic stuff.
You did the pogo.
I don't know what that is. What is that? Is it a dance?
You're jumping up and down dance.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like the swim and the monkey.
No.
I can imagine the pogo, but no. I mean, everybody kind of danced by themselves. Nobody really was at the clubs with anybody. It was a very strange time, the '80s. But a fun.
Did you surf the crowd? You know, you could throw yourself into the
stage diving. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And in the stage diving in the mosh pit.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, good times.
Wow, you were wild.
Yeah, oh, crazy, man. Crazy. let's talk about some other things. Let's talk about Alfredo sauce. You like Alfredo sauce? Like a good Alfredo sauce?
It's okay.
You make your own, I'm sure.
Why would you buy it?
Why would you buy it? And especially with this next story, because the Food and Drug Administration has classified a recall of more than 900 cases of Alfredo sauce at its highest risk level after a supplier recalled a dry milk powder ingredient used in the product due to potential salmonella contamination. Oh,
wow.
Can I just take a break and talk about something?
Salmonella from dry milk?
Yeah, that's bad. That's got to be something bad. Remind me about the fish before we forget this. The FDA designated the recall as a class one event, its most serious classification, meaning there's a reasonable probability that the use of or exposure to the product can cause serious adverse health consequences or death. The name of the company was called The Coffee Connection, CONNEXION. So I guess The Coffee Connection, I'm thinking, what do they have to do with Alfredo sauce?
I thought they made coffee.
Yeah, it seems that way. I guess there was the dry milk powder somehow that they sold through. Let me tell you something. You know, spices and all sorts of dry goods, I'll call it. You know, seeds and things of that nature. Nuts. Do you know that you could buy these things on Amazon, of course, right?
Yeah.
Do you know, I witnessed this personally not too long ago. There are companies... guys in their bedrooms, literally, that we'll call them companies, that are getting supplies of big bags of various spices, nuts, seeds, and things of that nature. They cut them open, they weigh them, and they just put them in these machines that usually they don't clean out between uses to do a rebag and then sell on Amazon.
Little bottles. Yeah.
There is a gap. That's something that's going to be consumed by a human being, right? There's a gap in the safety protocols there.
I guess.
It's not.
I don't know how you can get salmonella into a dry product.
I don't know. This is what inquiring minds want to know. I don't know. But they recalled it. Level one. It's all over the country in Florida, Colorado, California, New Hampshire, South Carolina, blah, 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 blah. I think it's like 40 states. So just be careful out there. Let me tell you about the fish story. Can I tell you about the fish story?
It's so hard to make Alfredo sauce. That's one of the most difficult sauces ever to achieve.
What is it? Four ingredients, maybe?
It's bechamel and nothing. You know, I mean, I could look up the recipe, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's basically a milk reduction, a thickened milk reduction with cheese.
Yeah, Parmesan and maybe some
other cheese.
You can't
mess it up. You can't mess this up. It's impossible.
It's a cheese sauce.
Yep. So I was in, where was I? I was in Eleuthera. I have a little bit of a leg problem, you know that? So I'm walking up these hills.
Yes, you've had a leg problem for a while.
Oh, it's horrible. So I'm on this trip. I'm in Eleuthera. I'm in the Bahamas. Literally everywhere is either a hill or a step. I'm like, this cannot be happening. Right? I mean, it's horrible. So This is like a few days in. We get to Eleuthera. We're walking, and I'm like, I can't walk anymore. Some guy picks me up by a nice guy that works there, picks me up in a golf cart, drives me back to where I was going. He says, I've been poisoned. I said, what? He's a local. I said, what do you mean poisoned? He said, yeah, I had a bad fish yesterday. I said, oh, what do you have? He said, I ate a barracuda. I said, did you get Cinque Terre? Cinque Terre is a disease that some larger fish that kind of hang out by the bottom, stagnant, will get. You get it. It's not a good thing to get Cinque Terre. Very bad.
Wow, I never heard of this. You have to tell me.
Oh, chicken tear, you never get rid of. Literally, you'll get like your arms will cramp up, your legs will be a mess, you won't be able to eat, you'll lose weight. This, and then it goes away and it comes back. And God forbid you eat, I know somebody who's done this, another fish down the road sometime in your future that is Cinque Terre too, you get a double helping of the stuff. Doesn't leave your body the stuff.
Cinque Terre?
Cinque Terre.
How do you spell it?
It's with a C. Think about Cinque Terre. C-I-N-C-E-T-E-R-A, something like that.
And barracudas have it?
Barracuda, yeah, big barracudas. That's why we don't eat them here in the U.S. However, very popular in the Bahamas and that whole island chain. You can go to certain, and when I catch a barracuda over there, I'm like, all right, let's throw it back. No, no, we keep it. We keep it for the locals. They love it. Love it. The meat is beautiful. The problem is that larger barracudas, young barracudas don't have the same problem. And the small ones that are in the waters of the Bahamas are not a problem, but I'm still not eating it. The stuff we catch in the Atlantic.
I'll never eat it. This is something I've learned today.
You don't eat barracuda. You've never eaten barracuda.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's an ugly, very, they have sharp teeth.
No, I've never seen it in a fish market.
No, you'll never see it.
Or otherwise.
You'll never see it. You'll never see it because the potential for Cinque Terre is too high.
Mm.
So he says, I've been poisoned. I had a barracuda. I said, did you get Cinque Terre? No, 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 no. He says, I made a mistake. He says, I should not have eaten that fish. I should have known better. When I caught the fish, he was on his own. Now, a barracuda oftentimes does hang out by itself. They like hover in the water. They got this big underbite. They got this gigantic, very sharp teeth. Yeah. I get very sharp teeth. Like, you do not put your hand near that barracuda's mouth. Literally, it'll bite your finger off. I mean, really sharp teeth. And long. He said, no, it was, okay. He goes, and the other thing was, I should have thought of it. When I opened the fish and cut it, no flies. The flies in these islands come when you think about eating. It's unbelievable, the flies in these islands.
There was no flies?
No flies on the fish. Flies will not attack a poisonous fish.
That's interesting.
I was fascinated when he told me this. And he said, there's no flies in the fish. I ate it and I got sick. I got poisoned. I'm like, you're still here, but okay. I guess you got a stomachache. Cinque Terre, don't eat a fish that there's no flies on. Unless you're in a place that doesn't have any flies. Then there's that. And a fish that's on its own, just kind of wandering around. All the other fish are like, hey, dude, out. Get out of here. I don't want to catch what you got. Yep. That's what's going on.
What other fish suffers from this ailment?
There's other fish? I think there's other bottom fish. Let's see. I'll look this up while we're doing it.
Catfish or bottom fish? I never
those
heard of this.
Fresh, those are freshwater.
Okay, right.
What fish with Cinque Terre? Okay, let's see. Searching. Okay,
this little tidbit of information has got to be valuable for anyone who needs to donate to the show.
Yeah, there's a lot of reef. It comes off the reefs. That's what it comes off. It comes off the coral. So Cinque Terre is a foodborne illness caused by eating tropical fish contaminated with naturally occurring toxin, chinga toxins. They originate from microalgae on coral reefs and become progressively more concentrated as they move up the food chain. That's the problem with this. The larger the fish that can get this, the more they get concentrated in their meat.
Yeah.
Large predatory fish, carnivorous. Like, here you go. Barracuda. This could be barracuda, grouper, moray eels, amberjack. That's why you don't eat amberjacks either. Surgeon fish, parrotfish, Spanish mackerel. It has no taste or smell. It's not destroyed by heat. The toxin most concentrated in the fish's head, liver, roe, eggs, and intestines. So, bad stuff.
Barracuda. What mackerel? It's a Spanish mackerel. What mackerel is that?
The mackerel it talked about was Spanish mackerel. But it has to be certain ones. Some of them, I'll eat Spanish mackerel. We catch those and we'll eat those. Sea bass, also. Red snapper, also. They're not as much of a problem. Unless they're the really big ones because they just stay in their body.
Well, that doesn't sound like a Pacific Coast problem.
No. Barracuda famously known for the most common source of Cinque Terre in regions like Florida. Any apex predator feeding near a coral reef can carry it.
Hmm.
So,
another reason to stay out of Florida.
Yeah, yeah. The larger is the worst. Larger is worse for those. So, yeah, don't come to Florida. Do not come to Florida. You'll get sick. All right, so SpaceX came out at $135 a share, rose about to $160. Retail got only about 20% of the deal, down from 30% that they were supposed to get to. It was a $75 billion deal that turned out to be a green shoe of about $10 billion more, which is an additional add-on primarily taken by the institutions. They get to decide that afterwards where they see the IPO went. Opens at 130, close at 160. Like, yeah, I'll take $10 billion at the IPO price. Gotta love that. Oracle's having problems.
Astonishing.
There was a news item about today. Microsoft is rethinking its contribution to Oracle.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm talking about? That whole thing that...
Yeah, the merry-go-round of funding.
Yep. 3 days ago, let's see what it says. Microsoft's 5 hours ago, Microsoft's discussion with Oracle regarding a cloud infrastructure leasing deal potentially valued at more than $3 billion fallen through.
Wow.
There's more.
This is like test marketing. Let's just say this and see what happens.
It's trial balloons.
Yeah.
Now, the company came out with its earnings.
Totally legal, I should add.
Totally legal. Everything is legal in this market. It's all about just making money. Nobody cares about anything. Morals be damned. Rules be damned. So the company expects to spend about $70 billion on net capital expenditures, CapEx, in the current fiscal year. Plans to raise another $40 billion in equity and debt. This is Oracle from last week's earnings. Their cloud infrastructure business gained 93% to $5.8 billion, and total cloud revenue is projected to jump about 61% in the quarter ending August. But there was an increase in infrastructure CapEx costs by $5 billion over the course of the year. Shares declined by the most in months. So there's that going on too. CPI and PPI. May CPI was mixed, generally cooler on the core reading. Headline CPI was up 0.5% month over month, matching the consensus, by the way. While core, here's what was interesting, the core rose 0.2% below the 0.3% consensus and below most other estimates that we saw out there. Now, that was maybe some easing in the underlying consumer inflation pressures. I call bullshit, but okay. Now, here's what's interesting. A few days later, out comes the PPI, the producer price income index at the wholesale level. 1.1% month over month. Expectation was for a 0.7. No matter how you look at it, 1.1 is like 13% for the year. I think 13.2 to be exact. That's a big number. So if you look at both of these things.
What's it been coming at recently?
Huh?
What's it been coming in at recently?
0.5, 0.6 month over month. Annualized at like 5%. So
yeah, inflation.
Yep. So you put these two things together and you see like a mixed picture between the CPI and the PPI. But big job coming up Wednesday, 2 p.m. to a Fed meeting near you. And by the way, Warsh is also going to tack down on the communication strategy. He's going to shut his mouth more. He's prohibiting some of the speakers from going out.
Good idea.
Thank God. How long have we been complaining about this?
At least a decade.
It's ridiculous.
You more than me, since you actually listen to this stuff.
Well, I also complain about it a lot more than you do.
Yeah, surprisingly enough.
No, I'm a complainer. You're a grouser. You're a grouser. I'm a complainer. Right?
Yeah.
Cyberdyne, you know who that is, right? From the Terminator. Anthropic announced Claude Fable 5, a Mythos class model that will be available to its enterprise customers and paid subscribers. This model that was unveiled in April is limited to the rollout because of its advanced cybersecurity capabilities. In other words, hacking capabilities.
Yeah, sure.
So Anthropic said Claude's Fable 5 broad release is possible because of new safeguards that block responses in specific high-risk areas. Wait a second. The U.S. government says nothing doing. Pulled the plug on it for any foreign nationals, any foreign countries. Can't have it. Anthropic said, you know, the U.S. government, citing national security authorities, have issued an export control directive to suspend all access to Fable 5 and Mythos 5 by any foreign national, whether aside, inside or outside the United States. So this, what can this do? And this,
I think this is just marketing.
You think, let me translate John Ease. You're saying it's marketing to play into the hand that, oh my God, this is so powerful. This is what you need.
Exactly.
Yeah. Scare the crap out of people that it's powerful enough to take down cities, infrastructure.
Civilizations.
Civilizations will be just gone.
Crumbling.
Hey. Yep. All right, a few more things to get through. OpenAI confidentially filed for an IPO. Now, it's funny. It confidentially filed, but we all know about it. So confidentiality does not mean that nobody knows about it. It allows the company to iron out the accounting and compliance, regulatory issues, still staying in a private mode without triggering a media circus, alerting competitors. Goes right to the SEC and to the regulators, and then they will release their stuff once it gets through. So it has to get through the regulators first from a compliance standpoint, and then they'll release it to the rest of us, mere mortals. Last Friday, we saw another astonishing payrolls number. Now, if it was any other administration,
I wouldn't call it astonishing.
172,000, and what's going on right now?
Yeah, but still, it's, you know, only 32,000 over the norm, or over the expected, or over the necessary. Let's put it that way.
It's 90,000 over the expected, almost double.
I thought the expected is 150.
No, you're talking about the amount. I think what you're talking about is the amount that needs to keep the equilibrium.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the unemployment rate at 150,000.
I'm not talking about the predicted number.
Right. The 150,000 required amount to keep the unemployment rate steady so that we're not losing jobs.
Yeah, because 150,000 people either retire, quit, or die.
Yeah, exactly.
Every month of the year.
Yep.
And you have to replace those people. So the baseline is 150. So this is 172, which is, to me, a mediocre bump.
Yeah, so it's definitely on the positive side of all things.
Yeah, it's a positive. Well, that is true.
But it's $90,000 more than expected. And markets all play on actual versus expected. And that's how everybody handicaps it all. That's how analysts keep their job. They just get really close to what everybody else is saying. So you can't be too far off. Unemployment rate held steady at 4.3%. That was expected. Average hourly earnings rose 0.3%. Or up 3.4% of last year. Not a big deal. It's not enough to keep pace with inflation.
No.
But one of the things that's going to happen that's going to be really fascinating is when we have all this excess amount, two things. When they have all this excess amount of earnings and then we start to see deflation, are we going to have more people saving even more money putting in the markets? And the second thing, when you look at, is a slight left turn here, but all the excess amount of build going on to create supply for things like semiconductors, drives, etc. And when that slows down, are we going to have just a massive amount of surplus?
Maybe.
It's going to be pretty interesting to see. That's the normal cycle. It's the same thing with, I don't know if I've ever talked to you about this before, title insurance companies. And you're saying to yourself, what is this guy talking about?
What is this guy talking about?
What is this guy talking about? Title insurance companies, when mortgage boom is happening, start getting bigger, more people work in there, they're busting at the seams. They hire more people, they get bigger offices. I had a title insurance company next to one of my offices a number of years ago. They're like, Andrew, we're thinking about expanding. I'm like, do not expand. Hire more people, squeeze them in your office as best as possible, find other places to rent on a temporary basis. Do not expand, because all of a sudden you're going to be at this big old size and the mortgages are going to dry up to nothing. And then you're going to be like, what do I do then? And lo and behold, it happened just like that time after time.
Did you? They didn't take your advice.
They did not take my advice.
After you've seen the cycle.
Seen the cycle. And they expanded and all that. Then they were just led there. They fired everybody, selling off stuff. I got some cheap furniture out of it.
Ah, well, it's good news for you.
Yeah, I won. Just that is the king of cycles we have right here with us, sir. That's John C. Dvorak. You know these cycles.
I do have a penchant for following cycles.
No. Do you have a penchant for following the screw worm?
Yeah, we've been following it, but it doesn't seem like a cycle. It seems like a scam.
This is the New World Screw Worm. It's a very advanced and very high-end, high-society screw worm, it seems. The New World Screw Worm versus the, you know, old crappy world one has been detected in a three-week-old calf in Zavala County, Texas. The first known case of the fly in the United States since 2017. Oh, well, the larva burrow into the flesh of living animals, causing serious damage to livestock and economic losses. Could we eat screw worms? Not that I want to. Could we eat screw worms?
Can you eat them?
Yeah,